following original talk show is rated NU. No usury abuse is tolerated. Some content may be offensive to term life insurance plan owners. Chestertonian discretion is advised. They say money is the root of all evil. But on the True Money Show, you'll learn that the Federal Reserve is the root of all evil money. The True Money Show with David Simpson, exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade Channel.
You know, every time that Celeste says, we accept your contributions if you have a tip for the Veritas Radio Network News, I'm always thinking, or a check. You know, we'll take contributions either in the form of, hey, here's a good news story, or we'll take contributions in the form of, hey, here's $50. Keep the network alive. We'll take both. Maybe Celeste can add that to the next newscast. And when she says, we'll take your tips, we really mean that. We will actually have a tip jar on Mike's desk, and you can drop money in it whenever you want. And he'll turn the little what's that little thing that the, what's the thing you call? Well, yeah, they got the monkey and the guy grinding. What was he? I forgot what that thing was called. My goodness, my brain does not work anymore. Oh, well. Welcome back to the True Money Show. I am David Simpson. Thank you, Celeste, for the news. You know, she's not in her news bureau. She is actually at the National Pro-Life Women's Conference with Mike. They are both covering the event. If you're in the Orlando area, seek them out and go see what you can do in the pro-life movement. What could be more important than getting rid of the heinous sin that is abortion in our country? Not trying to defame anyone who may have fallen prey to that sin. I'm just saying it's time to get right and get forgiveness and end any more of those things. All right. So Celeste and Mike are at the National Convention. I am here holding down the fort at the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. You're listening to the True Money Show. I already had a call from Michael. Wonderful call. Thank you, Michael. 844-527-8723 is how he called in. You can call in the same way. He answered my financial question today, which is a college education worth it or is it worthless? And I think he split the baby and said it can be either. And I agree with that. I probably disagree with the purpose, though, that he said. You know, finding some job that you can do is not the purpose of education, in my opinion. We used to educate people to be good human beings. And by the way, I don't think Michael would disagree with that either. It's not a purely utilitarian purpose. It is a foundational human purpose. When he kept saying we don't teach people how to think, that is one of the principal goals. Not what to think, how to think, and then how to apply that vast storehouse of knowledge to all areas of your life. And it's got to include the two highest levels of study, which are philosophy and theology. But we don't do that anymore. We don't do philosophy and theology. We do it here on the Crusade Channel, but they don't do it in schools. So we call philosophy the queen of the sciences. She rules, philosophy rules over all, or should rule over all of education. And then what is philosophy in relationship to theology? It's called the handmaid of theology. You have philosophy so you can better understand the deepest thought, which is knowledge, study of God. What an idea. What an idea. I'm getting texts now, and I'm getting, oh, goodness gracious. Yes, I have a call from Kermit, so I'll get to Kermit in just a minute. So, but Michael, thank you for the call. I also, you know, I have a little thing I want to play for you, and then I'm going to get to the rest of it. I've still got the financial question of the day on the table. I still want to get to where have all the apples gone. I'm going to have to stop doing the Flynn story, my hero story, because I'm going to run out of time, and I promise you guys I'd cover things, and I want to make sure I cover them all. So I'm going to end the Flynn story, and I'll do part four of that next week. But I want to talk about where have all the apples gone still, and I want to mention my financial question. I mean, my this day in money history, which is the malt tax riots. But Christopher, you know what? Listen to this little clip. Here's something I noticed. I noticed that on the Crusade Channel, we talk about provocative things, and I've noticed that people sometimes get their nose bent out of shape a little bit, and they think that we're somehow attacking them personally. So this is, I want you to get this audio clip. I want you to put it in my file. And whenever someone sounds like they're a little disgruntled, we're going to play this clip for them, okay? And then I'll make a comment on it afterwards. But it's from one of my favorite movies of all time because it's really this campy, funny movie. Check this out. See if you remember this.
Well, last chance. I'm a rich man now. Give up the open road. Sell my truck. Settle down.
Couldn't have that in my conscience. The only way it might work is if you buy a bigger truck. One with a cozy little apartment in back, just big enough for two.
Sounds pretty great. But you know something? Sooner or later, I rub everybody the wrong way, and... Well, let me think about it.
God, aren't you even gonna kiss her goodbye?
No.
You know, that's good old Kurt Russell from Big Trouble in Little China. But the key point there is, you know, sooner or later I rub everybody the wrong way. And sooner or later Mike Church rubs everybody the wrong way. And let me ask you, so here's the question I wanted to ask. This is why I want that clip in my little file. And whenever you hear somebody getting rubbed the wrong way, Christopher, you lay it on them, okay? So here's the thing. Can we love each other beyond our disagreements? Michael said on the phone, him and his wife don't agree with this, and it actually goes back, it's like a little ping pong match in their household about certain topics he brought up. But they're still married. Hey, what do you know? They actually love each other beyond their disagreements, and then they seek further understanding, and they strive to be together even in their separateness. What an idea. That almost sounds Christian. I don't know. What is this? Is there a light from on high coming down on the True Money Show that's giving me some type of inspiration? I think there might be. If we rub you the wrong way, we're not intending to rub you the wrong way. That's not the idea. It's that we're human, and sometimes we do rub each other the wrong way, and can we love beyond it? So, save that clip for me, Christopher. Get Mr. Kurt Russell in here again someday, and we're gonna see if we rub other people the wrong way as well, but still go on trying to find the truth, trying to find unity, trying to find love and charity. Let's go to the phone lines. I'm not sure what Kermit wants to say. He might want to answer my financial question of the day. He might want to chime in on the National Women's Pro-Life Conference. He might tell me that I'm all wet on several issues. Kermit, hello. Welcome to the True Money Show. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine.
Good.
It was about the college thing.
All right. Is college education, is it worth it or is it worthless, Kermit? What do you say?
I would say for most people, it's worthless.
Okay.
Because most people don't really...
Wait, Kermit, you're cutting in and out. Can you give me a second? Let me see if I can get you back here. Are you still there? All right, I think we lost Kermit. Kermit, call back.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, there you are, loud and clear.
Okay. I was going to say that I think for a lot of people, especially ones who get degrees in useless things, that it's a complete waste.
Yeah.
You know, why do you need to have the equivalent of a house debt or a degree in underwater basket weaving?
Yeah.
You may like underwater basket weaving, but what's the point?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's good for, you know, if there's a field where you really, like a doctor, you really do need the education. But for the average person, you know, college used to be the exception. And now it's the rule, and I don't think a four-year college degree is worth more than a high school diploma was worth 20 years ago.
Well, you know, I'll say two things. First of all, you're echoing Michael's comments, and so maybe I'm the one who's wrong here, because I don't really like education for utilitarian purposes. I mean, I see it's necessary. So in other words, I'm not saying a doctor shouldn't go to school, but what I'm saying is when I speak of education, I don't think of it in those type of utilitarian pragmatic ways. I really do wish we'd go back to liberal arts education and train the man as a man. But I could be wrong, and two people have voted.
Well, I think you're completely right with that. But the problem is, I don't think that 90% of the people should be doing that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, that's a great point. No, so that was my second point, which is this.
Yeah.
We have definitely cheapened it. Look, whenever you make something so expansive and so pervasive, it cheapens a thing. The greatest example for the True Money Show is that when we keep producing more money, fake money that we just issue out of the currency, and we don't have a concomitant increase in goods and services, it's called inflation, and it decreases the value of your current existing dollars. That's what I call the giant theft operation that's going on. If you do the same thing with diplomas, if you say, oh, you can only get a job if you have a diploma, and so everyone goes out and gets a diploma, but we have no idea of quality control and see if anyone really deserves the diploma, then it cheapens the whole thing. And so I agree with you there. We're just mass producing them, aren't we?
Yep. And I don't remember the exact quote, but Chesterton had a quote about education at some point that was generally that in the past, someone would be educated and they'd be a more rounded individual.
Yeah.
And now they're being narrowly focused. And so they may be an expert in a specific field,
yep,
but they have no roundness to their knowledge base.
No, absolutely. And that's kind of what I was describing with philosophy and theology. You know, philosophy used to sit at the very top of education, and they called it the queen of the sciences. Why? Because it made a cohesive whole of everything you learned. It integrated your knowledge to a point where you could then use the faculties, all the powers of that knowledge, in every area of understanding, in every regime, in every practical exercise. And then what was it in relationship, though, to the highest branch of knowledge, which is theology? It was called the handmaid, because it's no matter how high a man can reach with his intellect. And when I say man, oh, for goodness sakes, I am speaking in that pronoun. I mean mankind. I don't want a feminist column saying, oh, I guess only a man can learn. No, I have to start naming man, woman, or person. Whenever a person's mind strives for that highest level of knowledge, it still is infinitely below what our God knows. And so we have to have humility in approaching the highest branch of knowledge, and so we call it the handmaid of theology. That's what philosophy is. It helps us to understand some of these mysterious things of God, but not in a way that we could ever say is comprehensive or full. So, hey, Kermit, thanks for the call, and thank you for the loan of your wonderful wife in doing the Veritas Radio Network News Bureau.
I was going to say there was one great thing about college is I met a certain person.
Hey, it wasn't all a waste of time, was it?
Nope.
Well, listen, I'm going to let you go. I want to catch a few more things on my show. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks. Bye.
Man, that's Kermit, a good friend. Yes, that's a relation to Celeste. I'll let you figure out the relationship if you so dare. 844-527-8723 is how you can call in like Kermit did. You can also use our app to call in. There's a handy-dandy little button that says Call Crusade Now. You can email me. I've checked my email. Let me check it one more time. I didn't see anybody writing in lately. Nope, nobody's writing in except my junk mail that I'm getting. David@tffco.com. Let me jump real quick over to this day in money history. I don't have a big story to give you other than to tell you that on this day in 1725, so June 23rd, 1725, they had riots in Scotland. And, you know, I am a Scot somewhere deep inside. I don't know. One of these days, you know, I don't really like those DNA tests because I just feel like they're going to use that information against me somehow. I'm so suspicious. But anyway, but I actually kind of want to maybe send mine in and let them tell me my true ethnicity. My father is convinced, my father was convinced, he's passed away now, that you know, the Simpson name is a sept, they call it, S-E-P-T, of the Clan Frasier, a Scottish clan. And supposedly we have this Scottish blood coursing through our veins. But my mother's French, as French can be. And even the Scots had some French influence, you know, from William the Conqueror and so on. So I imagine I might come out more French than Scottish. I don't know. Maybe I will take that test one day. But whenever I get a story from Scotland, I always want to share it because I fancy myself a Scotsman. And so on June 23rd, 1725, they had what's called the Malt Tax Riots. So London exercised, this is about 18 years after, I think 18 years after the unification of the crown. So the Scots are already kind of smarting from the idea that they don't have their own king. They got this foreign Englishman as a king, even though the first king was a Scot, not an Englishman, the first unified king. Anyway, but London's trying to raise more money. Who would have thunk? Who would have thought that the government wanted to raise more money? What an idea. So they go, you know what, we need to tax malt. And, you know, malt is used, besides in beer, it's used in their favorite production, scotch, right? Scotch whiskey. And so they tried to put a couple of cents on all the malts that was being raised in the fields. And it was going to raise about 20 million pounds, I think, which is an exorbitant amount of money anyway, back in those days. And the Scots didn't want to pay it. And so they created a riot, ensued. They actually ran a bunch of the local officials off, beat back the tax for a while. But, of course, you know, before it was all over with, the taxes still came. But I don't have any idea what all this is. I can only guess. Is that Loretta again by chance? Yeah, or no? I don't know. I don't want to talk. I have no idea. You know, all this is going to do is just further delay my show, further not let me get to where have all the apples gone. But you know what? When you get three calls in one day, when you get a hat trick of calls, you really almost are forced to take them, aren't you? So I have Drop Pocket Bumstead on the phone. I have
FBI.
No.
FBI.
Tell me that again.
I said that would be I.
Yes. Go ahead, Drop DP. Go get laid on me. What have you got?
Well, Mr. Simpson, Drop Pocket Bumstead reporting from Orlando.
You know, you're killing my show. I'm not going to get any. I promised people some certain substantive things I was going to cover, and I'm just going to run out of time. Oh, well.
I'm going to give you substance here. So Crusade Channel is trying to survive and stay alive, trying to raise $50,000. Poorly, I might add. I'm watching ESPN at this restaurant bar in Orlando.
Yes.
To learn that the Oakland Football Raiders have just agreed to pay quarterback Derek Carr $125 million.
That's right. That's right.
Over 5 years. So, David, I did some math. If you took $125 million and divided it by Crusader level memberships, that's 114,155 Crusaders.
That should be easy.
Put it in perspective.
That should be easy enough to attain. Now that you broke it down, it's so easy. Okay, now that's a bite-sized portion I can get around, Mike. Thanks. Thanks for letting me know.
So, lesson learned. So we need to start exercising more, learning how to throw footballs or baseballs, and
yeah, who cares?
Forgetting
about
all this soul saving,
yeah,
and truth and crusading and all that.
Yeah, maybe you know what's happened, huh? You and I've gotten way too crusadery. That's our problem.
That's right. We've been acting too much, all too crusadery.
Yeah, yeah.
After the mornings that I've had, brother, I almost bailed on the entire crusade at about 10:08 this morning.
Yeah, don't do that.
Could have been the last sign off of the Mike Church show. When I threw those headphones down and walked away, Christopher goes, "Dude, you caught me by surprise." I went, "Trust me when I tell you, it was good that I signed off."
Mm. I did notice it was kind of abrupt this morning, but I thought you just kind of wanted to get out of the way of all the goings on over there.
Name the Murphy's Got a Law, and I got a full brunt of it the last 30 hours, and I got the full brunt of Murphy. As a matter of fact, if I ever hear the name Murphy again, I think I'll punch out whoever it is.
Well, don't watch Murphy Brown reruns, buddy.
No. So we've rallied and recovered and prayed. Still broke. Still don't have $125 million. But I'm going to appeal to Raiders fans to, you know.
I just think we need to call David Carr. Hey, Dave.
That's what we were saying. hey, David, you know, how about a little something for the effort over here?
Yeah, you just came into a little bit of coin, so you want to throw some our way? Yeah, I know. I saw a follow-up article that said he just set the bar, and so now the next franchise quarterback has to earn $30 million or more a year. I'm like, why? Since when? Okay, so if I make $100,000, the next financial guy has to make $150,000? Well, since why can he make 75? What correspondence is there between one guy and another just because we both are doing the same thing?
They've got it all wrong. They should be using me and you as an example. I set the bar really low. So that means that the next guy that has a radio talk show decides to go out on his own and start his own only needs to earn like $187 a week.
So Drop Pocket, if I remember right, was the poor guy who had holes in his pocket. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Mr. Bumstead himself. Well, listen, dude, I'm going to leave you in mourning. I mean, leave you in mourning over there. I will try to fluff.
I'm not in mourning anymore. I got a double Knob Creek with two cubes of ice in it sitting in front of me. I am no longer in mourning, brother.
Well, I'm not going to ask you what other corporate worker mercy you did to fall off of any Friday abstentions you should be doing.
Eating today.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you're just going to drink?
You know, it's darn near 2 o'clock this time.
Yeah, that's true. All right, listen, Drop Pocket, I gotta go because I want to do Where Have All the Apples Gone, and I have a whole of 6 minutes left to do it, and I'm not going to do it justice. But
okay,
listen, you
Drop
have a good
Bumstead signing off.
Signing off. Thanks for the report from the conference. I'll keep passing along the info.
But the good news is we got everything set up at the conference. We're all ready to go, and we'll begin our live broadcasting coverage tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Central.
I think this is the calm before. I mean, I think this is the storm before the calm. I think when you go back there tomorrow and all the excitement ensues and people start downloading the app and contributing money, I think you're going to have a big weekend. I really do.
Don't forget about that report, Bill.
All right. I'm out of here, Drop Pocket. Be good, brother. All right, that's my good buddy, Mike Church. He's my my friend, and well, we're confidants to one another, I guess. We met in 2008 or thereabouts, and now his wife is convinced we have a bromance going on. And I'm definitely dissuading people of that notion because I've seen some ugly reports on bromances lately. Mike and I are just friends. We are friends, my friend. So let me do 5 minutes on Where Have All the Apples Gone. Now, you might think, what in the world is that got to do with finance? Well, quite a bit, actually. So this is a story by John Horvat, who I've had on my show before, and who's written the book Return to Order. If you haven't checked out Return to Order, I would recommend it to you. It talks about us being just really twisted around the axle in all the wrong ways, and that's what's causing such problems with our society. Here's his article. He says, one of the benefits of modern mass markets is supposed to be the proliferation of choices. This ability to select from plenty is considered one of the marvels of the modern economy. However, there is another side to the matter that is not often explored. In their drive to provide abundance, mass markets suppress variety. When providing many choices, they tend to offer the same universal options everywhere. Can you imagine? Can you just think in your mind, McDonald's and Burger King's and Wendy's at every corner of every block of the United States of America? Isn't he kind of right already? But we don't want to admit that. Oh, no, that's great. That's progress. Now, all of the modern economists are going to hate me and hate Mr. Horvat for this article, but listen to how he proves his point. They always say that in pre-industrial times and in Christian times, they say that the markets were terrible and everybody was poor and everybody was impoverished. Mr. Horvath says this, pre-industrial markets were not limited at all. In fact, they were incredibly rich. One very expressive example is that of the simple apple. Apples have been bought and sold from time immemorial. By looking at how they are sold in pre-modern times and now, we can make a judgment on the matter of whether or not which society was richer, if you will. As it stands now, I'm not going to deny that we're richer materially now. I'm going to deny whether or not it was good for the human soul, is what I'm saying. Let's look at what he says. As it stands now, we can buy apples anywhere during any season. In the off-season, apples can be shipped from any parts of the world. Cold storage techniques extend the life of the apple for a good amount of time. Thus far, we can say the modern apple markets do make apples available longer to a greater number of Americans all the time. However, the matter becomes more difficult when we look at exactly what is available to us. The first thing that is notable is that most apples in America are not local apples. Listen to this. A full two-thirds of all apples are harvested in Washington State. The second observation is that the varieties of apples available are very limited. In fact, some 90% of the market is made up of only 15 types. So you want an apple? You got 15 choices now. Well, that's not bad, right? But these choices are predetermined by producers who adjust them according to their needs of production, shipping, and storage. What have we done? We've subordinated choice, real human choice, to the idea of production and efficiency and the bottom line. Thus, while the availability of apples is great in industrial society, the variety is depressingly poor. Okay. The comparison must then be based on what the pre-industrial apple market looked like. The first fact is that the apples were grown all over the country, with each region specializing in the apples that grew best in the area. A recent New York Times article reports the second astonishing fact that some 17,000 varieties of apples were grown in North America over the past few centuries. While not everyone had access to all 17,000 varieties, no two regions experienced the same 15 modern choices. The choices were determined by those who lived in the locality. Do you hear subsidiarity kind of coming out here? We can say that apple selection enriched the area and the cultures. We must then ask, where have all the apples gone? We need to look at why we've been reduced to 15 varieties in 90% of the cases. We need to know what has happened to the other 16,985 varieties not represented in nearly all supermarkets. The good news is that some of these varieties are still around. They are raised in small orchards and sold out at roadside stands and farmers markets. The bad news is that 13,000 varieties have disappeared forever and are no longer grown. What killed these 13,000 varieties? Mass markets killed these apple varieties. When industrialization invaded agriculture at the beginning of last century, many small apple orchards, which were commonly part of small family farms, were just pulled up. Only those varieties that could adapt well to industrial processes survived. Apples that were apt to bruise were not saved. Likewise, those which did not travel well or store well were not valued. Still others failed to make the cut because they did not produce enough apples per tree. So what is Mr. Horvath's point? You can look at mass production any way you want, but one way we have to look at it is that it does not try to serve individual tastes. And you might say, well, that's too bad. I mean, we have more people having apples 90% of the time. They get 15 choices. That's pretty good. And we're doing it more efficiently, making more money doing it. There's no way you can do it the old style where you have individual choices. Well, hold on a second. Have you heard of the craft beer industry? The idea of small is beautiful, individual choice is wonderful, and that excellence comes in seeking the highest, not the most mass-produced, that's making a comeback, folks. Maybe we didn't need to get rid of 13,000 varieties of apples after all, just to have more money for the big producers. Well, one way to look at it anyway, right? I told you I would get it all covered. Now I'm running out of time, and we got to go to Dr. J.B. Carpenter for the Reverse Deception Show. You've been listening to the True Money Show on the Crusade Channel of the Veritas Radio Network. I am David Simpson. I'll be back next week from 11 to 1 every day on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. And these dice are loaded, but I still can't win. Flat, broke, and busted, crapped out again. Maybe tomorrow I'll see the light, and I'll know the difference between wrong and right. My ship is out there, but it can't come in. Flat, broke, and busted, crapped out.